Tonight, I'd like to invite you over to the book of 1 John chapter 3, verse 10. 1 John chapter 3, verse 10. 1 John chapter 3, verse 10 reads this way. It says, "In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do come before your throne tonight, thanking you again for the privilege of gathering together as your people, and Lord, also being reminded that where two or three are gathered together in your name, there you are in the midst. And so we thank you for your presence tonight. We do pray, Lord, that you would guide us by your Holy Spirit to open up our hearts and minds to hear from you and to understand your word. And Lord, that you would guide us into a deeper relationship with you and give us more wisdom and understanding concerning the grace that we've received in eternal life, and Lord, the spirit that you want us to walk in, and Lord, the opportunity that you give us to glorify your name by your grace and power. So Lord, give us wisdom, allow us to hear from you, and guide our hearts and minds to understand the truths you've given to us in your word in a greater way, and we'll give you all the praise, for we ask it in Jesus' name, amen. The title of the message tonight is simply, "In This the Children of God Are Manifest." And so we'll take this as a lesson, and there is a homework assignment here for us, and we'll share that with you here in just a little bit. But this is something that you have to look at personally. Lord, what is it that you want from me? How is it that you want me to receive this? Because God wants to guide us in his word. He wants to give us wisdom and understanding. And let me ask you this. Does God want his children to be different than the world? That's okay. So we understand that. And we do understand that we've been given salvation by grace through faith, right? And once we're saved, we're eternally secured, and we understand that. But we have to also be careful that we don't misunderstand that God is also doing a work of grace in our lives. Does that make sense? He's changing us to become more like him. He's transforming us, isn't that what the Bible says, into the image of his own dear son. We're joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so because of that, God is wanting to bring and is bringing a change, an effectual change in the life of every one of his children. But we also are reminded of this, but we don't want to use this as an escape clause or as an excuse clause, that we still deal with the old nature, the sin nature. So God is not definitely talking about sinless perfection. We understand that. We won't be perfect until we see the Lord face to face. Amen. And so we know that we will have difficulties. We will have trials and testings, and we will also, unfortunately, we will have failures, but let's not succumb to those things. We understand those things that because we're in the flesh still, but let's not use that for an excuse not to understand what God is, the work that God is wanting to do in our lives. So we'll take a look at three thoughts this evening, and that is the known and unknown love of the Father. Secondly, the importance of abiding purity. And then thirdly, the importance of not being deceived. And so we want to consider these three thoughts this evening. Let's back up to verse 1. We do know that God wants his children to be different than the world. And so now we'll take a note of the known and unknown love of the Father. Now here's how it works basically. The children of God know the love of the Father. Isn't that good? But the children of the world, they are estranged from the love of the Father. They've rejected God. They've not received the Lord. And so therefore, they don't know the love of the Father. So notice verse 1 of chapter 3. It says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not." So as we look at that, we understand the contrast there. So when we are the sons of God, by the way, that has the idea of children of God. Amen. And so God, because he has bestowed upon us the love of God, that we're called the sons of God, he's saying we are basically a chip off the old block is what we are. And so again, we're reminded that we still do deal with sin, but God says, "I've given you something now that's going to make you like I am." Is that not true?
So I am making you like I am. I am giving you my righteousness. I am giving you my spirit, my power to honor and glorify me. And so also as we consider this, he says, because of that, because you have been made like me, because you've received this new life, because you've been changed, right? You've been made different. Notice at the bottom of verse 1 there, therefore, because of that, because I have made you different, therefore the world knoweth us not. So see how what John did there? He put himself together with all of the children of God, and he says, hey, listen, the world doesn't understand us. The world, isn't that the truth? I mean, you tell them, you get excited about the things of God, and you tell them about eternal life, and they look at you like a deer in the headlights, don't they? They're like, huh? What? Or even maybe, really, you believe that? Oh, absolutely, 100% I believe that. And if I was like you, I might understand a little bit where you're coming from. But because God has given to me eternal life, there's no doubt about it. Amen. God has given me a revelation that opened up my eyes. I once was where they were at, where I was blind, but now I see what they cannot see. And because of that, the Bible says that the world knoweth us not. Then notice again in verse 1, because it knew him not. So the difference is we know the Lord now and they don't. We were once where they were at. So this is important. So God is saying to the child of God, you're in the family of God. And because of that, our destination has been changed. That's a good thing. Now, I'm going to tell you something. We are going to get into some complicated things here tonight that I'm going to ask you and challenge you to seek the Lord on your own to give you more clarification. God wants to give us wisdom and understanding concerning his word and to have more understanding concerning the truths that we'll look at. I'm just going to kind of introduce this, but it's really meant for us to delve into deeper. Amen. There's no way that we could really expound it in the short amount of time that we have, but I believe God wants us to understand this truth. Notice he says, verse 2, beloved. So we know he's talking to believers, right? Beloved, now are we the sons of God, right now. We are the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And so that's that final transformation. Amen. When we see the Lord face to face, we're going to be like him. What a day that's going to be. We have no idea what that's going to be like, but we are going to be like him. Isn't that amazing? We will have eternal life. We will have things that we've never had before that come from God. And then throughout all eternity, God's going to reveal to us even more. We're going to be like him so that we can be in his presence. We're going to have the righteousness. We're going to have the eternal life. We're never going to grow tired. We're never going to get sick. And then on top of all of that and more that we don't even know yet what it's like to be like him, God's going to even show more and more throughout eternity. And the beautiful part of it is it will never end. Isn't that amazing? It's like you ever been enjoying something and you didn't want it to end? Well, listen, we're going to enjoy God like we've never understood before, and it's never going to end. So, boy, we've got something good to look forward to. And so as we look at these two verses, we know the known and the unknown love of the Father. We as believers know the world does not. And then we want to see the importance of abiding in purity. So here Apostle John introduces an important truth to the believer. We're on the same footing here, and now he's going to get into some things that are critically important for the life of the believer. Notice verse 3. And every man that hath this hope in him, that's us, right? We have this hope of eternal life. Amen? All right. We have this hope of eternal life. Notice, and every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. Now, what that means is that we present ourselves, that we examine ourselves, and we look for the purity of God. Not our righteousness, but the righteousness of God. We examine our lives, and then when there's a problem with it, we bring it before the Lord. If there are things that have crept in that defile, that are not pure, we bring these things before the Lord. And notice verse 4, whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is a transgression of the law. So we don't want to receive that. If we transgress the law of God, we want to bring that before the Lord. We want to be actively engaged in this idea of purity before the Lord. And notice he says this in verse 5, and ye know that he was manifested, this is the purpose of God, to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Is that the truth? All right. So the Lord manifested himself. He revealed himself to every believer that he would take away our sins. So this is a process. We understand the process and we want that process to continue, and that we know that when we stand before the Lord, the process will be completely finished. But we do want him to take care. We want to engage the Lord in that process. And notice what he says here in verse 6. He says, whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. They don't walk like we used to walk before we knew the Lord. And what does that mean? That means like we didn't care if we sinned. You could get another buddy or something and justify doing the wrong thing. I'm okay with it if you're okay with it. Are you okay with it? I'm okay. Okay, then it must be okay. No, it's not okay if it goes against the law of God. And so whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him. In other words, if you can continually walk in sin, then there's a problem. If it doesn't bother you, if you can blatantly do things that God says are wrong, there's a problem. Now we're not talking about a work salvation, but God is allowing us to see this in his word to say we need to bring that before the Lord. Don't let that go unchecked. What happened to David when he let his sin with Bathsheba grow long? He grew cold, didn't he? And the Psalm 51 says, Lord, restore unto me the joy of... We'll lose our joy. We won't. And by the way, we won't glorify the Lord. And God wants us to be, listen, not a fabricated happiness, but a happiness that comes from the Lord and walking in unity with him. If we are in disunity with the Lord, we're going to miss out on the joy of the Lord that comes from him that Paul and John and Peter and others spoke of, even in times of trials and tribulation. So verse 6, he says, whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. And then he says this, little children. Here we move to the importance of not being deceived, right? Little children, that's a term of endearment. Let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. So that's our goal, isn't it? That's what we're to strive to, not by our power, not by our strength, but Lord, allow me to walk in your righteousness. When God saved us, what is it that gives us the right to enter boldly to the throne room of God and make our petitions known unto him? What is it that allows us to boldly come before the throne of God? Is it not the righteousness of God and the shedding of his blood and the cleansing of our sins that allows us to go into the throne room of God? Absolutely it is. And so if we say, whoa, we have this boldness, but it doesn't matter how I live, there's a problem there. And so he says, verse 7, little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he's righteous. So we're supposed to be like the Father, right? We're supposed to be like the Son. And so he says, be mindful of these things. And here is really where the homework begins here. And that is to seek the will of God and the work of God in our daily lives, right? We want to seek the will of God. And we know the will of God is not for us to walk in sin and in failure. And we do that the work of God, he wants to renew us to be like him. And this is not something that we do in our strength and our effort. It is a work that he does. And you know, listen, when we give that over to the Lord, we unload a load that that God never intended for you and I to carry. If you look at it like, I've got to do this, we've got it backwards. God will do it for us, and we've got to give it to him and say, Lord, but I'm expecting you to do it, right? I'm expecting God to do it. I want to see this outcome in my life. So he says here, he says, he that committeth sin is of the devil. That's pretty strong, isn't it? For the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. So do you get that? So listen, we don't want to walk in sin because we're under the grace of God. You see how that's backwards? He says, oh, wait a minute. We don't want to habitually walk in it and excuse it and sweep it under the rug. God says, oh, no, we've got to deal with it. That means that's called, remember we talked about it Sunday, keeping the commandments of God. In other words, what he says is right is right. What God says is wrong will forever be wrong. And we can't sweep it under the rug. And if we are doing the things that are wrong and not confessing them, we stifle the hand of God. We hold back the blessings of God. How many people sinned in Israel with the Babylonian garment and the wedge of gold when Israel was defeated? Just one. Just one person held the blessing of God, and God had to deal with that. And so may we take seriously what God calls sin. So he says this. He says, again, verse 8, he that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested or revealed, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God, that's us, right? If you're born of God, doth not commit sin. For his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he's born of God. In other words, he's not going to, if we're really born of the Lord, we're not going to call sin okay. We're going to say it's wrong. We're never going to excuse it. We're never going to even ignore it. We can't ignore it. And so, I mean, we can technically ignore it, but it's not going to help us. And it's certainly not going to glorify the Lord. And it's not going to say, allow us to walk in right fellowship with the Lord, is it? David for a whole year did not walk in right fellowship with the Lord. And you know what? There was no communication going on between the Lord and David at that time. And there's no blessings of God. God will resist the proud, will he not? But he will receive the humble, those that say, oh Lord, I have sinned. And didn't God forgive David when he finally confessed it? He did. He did do that for him. And we can't fool God. We can't hide our sin, can we? We'll just, nobody saw that. Oh, God did. God sees everything. And then he says this, verse 9, we'll put verse 9 and 10 together. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. In this, he says, the children of God are manifest or revealed, and the children of the devil, whosoever doeth not righteousness, is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. He's saying, and boy, listen, this is that new commandment that Jesus gave to his disciples, did he not? The importance of loving, really compassionately concerned for the well-being. In fact, wanting really the betterment of the servant wants the betterment of the others to be exalted more than himself, right? That's the good thing. I want the blessings of God in the lives of God's people. So as we consider this, I want to ask you this question. The unbeliever really has no concern in seeking God in anything that God wants in the life of an individual. But let me ask you this. Is there a difference between the children of God and the children of the devil? Absolutely. God says there is, doesn't he? He says there's a difference. Is there a difference between the righteous and the righteous? Absolutely. God says there is. And so God says the righteous walk in my ways, right? One last thought, and here is really the assignment as we consider this. I don't think we'll come back here. Let me invite you over to the book of 1 Corinthians just for a moment, chapter 6. And I'm just going to read these verses and we'll finish up. And the assignment is combine, look at these two verses. They co-join each other here in the same truths that we're looking at. This is not just a one-time event in 1 John. The Lord really repeats it and wants us really to understand this. So First Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 is where we're going. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9. And we'll zero in just a little bit on verse 11. We'll see the work of sanctification and the work of justification. And this is the change that God brings in the life of the believer. We are different than the world, right? The world winks, and elbows, and it's okay. We'll get away with it, right? We can do wrong and to our benefit, and it'll be all right. The child of God is not like that. So verse 9, notice what it says here. 1 Corinthians 6:9 says this. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Is that true? Absolutely. Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkard, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. God was pretty thorough there, wasn't he? Notice, and such were some of you. Such were some of you. We've all been guilty of things in our hearts and minds. Notice this. And such were some of you, but, don't you love that conjunction? Ye are washed, but ye are, listen, here's the idea of the work of sanctification and the work of justification. But ye are washed, but ye are what? Sanctified. Did you see that? But ye are what? Justified. Notice how, in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the what? Of our God. By the Spirit of our God. So how important is the work of the Holy Spirit? That's why Jesus said, I've got to go. Because if I don't go, the Comforter's not going to come. That's all important to the life of the believer. And so this is that work that God is doing in the life of the believer. Then notice this, verse 12. All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. And then all things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. In other words, I'm not going to do things that are going to defame and dishonor the name of God or cause my brother to stumble. Verse 13. Notice what he says here. Meats for the belly. And belly for meats, but God shall destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God hath both raised up the Lord, and will also raise us up by his own power. Know ye not that our bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of an harlot? He says, God forbid. What? Know ye not that he which is joined to an harlot is one body, for two, saith he, shall be one flesh? Whatever we engage in, we're bringing Christ into that. And so he's saying, we don't want to do that. Verse 17, but he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. That's where we want to be. We want to be joined to the Lord. He says, flee fornication. Every sin that man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. And then he says this, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. And because of that, he says, therefore, because of that, glorify God where? In your body. Not tomorrow, not next year, not when you get to heaven. He wants it now. Right? Therefore, because you are bought with a price, not next year, not some other time, but now, in the very present, for you are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which belong to who? Which are God's. Isn't that amazing? So in this, listen, this is our standard, the children of God. And this is what manifests or reveals the child of God. We walk differently than the world, amen? And we're not to walk in the flesh, but in the spirit. And this, the Bible tells us in 1 John 3:10, the children of God are manifest. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do come before your throne tonight, thanking you, Lord, again for the reminder and Lord, the word that you give to us that we might understand you and the salvation that you've given to us in a greater way. Bless, Lord, as we break off for prayer. And Lord, build Northwood for your honor and glory. Give us revival, Lord. Help us to seek you in these things, Lord, that lead us to revival. And we'll give you all the praise, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.